Okay, perfect. Welcome, everybody. I'm just going to do a quick introduction of myself and my colleague. So I'm Cedric and Sergio from the EHF Youth Panel, and together we will be your hosts tonight for the next four sessions with some of the best hockey people from around the world. If you have, during the session, some questions, just put it in the chat. Don't be shy. You can always raise your hands, and then you can come up to the stage and have a talk with us, maybe ask a question to one of the speakers themselves. So that being said, a big welcome to our two guests. Just going to do a quick introduction of who are you, where are you from, and what do you do. So maybe ladies first, Constanza, if you want to start with that.
Hello, my name is Constanza Barrandei. I play in the Uruguayan national team. I started playing when I was 6 years old, and I'm now 25 years old. I don't know if you want me to tell you something else about me.
Yeah, could be. Maybe. How long are you playing now? Or
I've been playing since I was 6 years old. I started in my school, so I was quite little when I started, and now I'm 25.
Okay, perfect. Arthur, if you want to take over.
Yes, hello everyone. My name is Arthur de Slover. I'm 24 years old, and I play for almost 5 years in the national team. I play also in Belgium in a club, Beerschot. I started hockey when I was 4 years old. People always say that I was born with a hockey ball in my belly because my whole family plays hockey. So I rolled a little bit in the sport. My cousin, she plays with the national team, also of Belgium, Alice Geniers. So yeah, hockey is really something that that is part of our family. So that's a bit how I came in the sports.
Actually, my first question, Sergio here from Spain, was going to be why hockey. So I guess that for us is kind of answered now. So I want to ask you, Constanza, why hockey? Because maybe in a Belgian country or Netherlands seems more obvious, but maybe not for you.
Yes, here in Uruguay, hockey has been growing since the last few years. When I started, I started playing in my school because it was like a sport that we have to practice in school. But it was not so common that all schools has hockey. Right now, it's a common sport in Uruguay for female more than for male. But I started in there, and my passion for hockey started because of my parents. They support us a lot, and think that practicing a team sport, it was very important for us, not only for the healthy part of practicing a sport, if not of the human values team sports give you. So
I see that in both cases, families had to do a lot in terms of you starting practicing the sport. Do you think it has to be like that for a vast majority of people? Does it have to be like that? Is it better when it comes from the family or no?
Yes, of course. I think that family support is one of the most important things for an athlete. In my case, in Uruguay, we are not professionals in the national team, so we are not paid for playing in here. So we also study and work additional to training. So being supported by your family, I think that is one of the most important aspects. So you can handle with all the stuff you have to do in your daily routine. So yes, sure, for sure.
Arthur.
Yes, I agree. My parents played a very big role in my hockey career. Not that they made the decision for me to start playing hockey, because they let me choose whatever sports I wanted to do. But once I chose for hockey, they always supported me. Belgium is not such a big country, so so we can train as a national team together every week. And I, when I played in the youth divisions, under 15, under 16, under 18, we had trainings all together from Belgium in Antwerp, and I lived about 1 hour away from Antwerp. So my parents always had to drive me after school to Antwerp to train. So yeah, for me that was a big help that that they supported me in that, because I played with other kids who were very talented as well, but parents were not so supportive for those kids, and so they never made it to a national team. So I think the support of parents and family as a whole is extremely important.
Okay, perfect. I see we have our first question coming up in the chat. It's more for Arthur. As a defender, which skills are very important to adapt it to the new generation, or as a coach?
Which skills? There are a lot of skills, of course. But as a defender without the ball, I think the most important one for a defender at international level is to understand and to read the game very well. Because we in Belgium, we like to play a lot of zonal defense. Whereas other countries like to play man-to-man and just follow your man and play your 1v1s, I think we play more zonal. So it's very important to understand the game. Maybe already see where passes are going to go, and always position yourself well. It's for me the most important thing. Also communication, because as a defender, you see the whole field in front of you. You see all your teammates standing in the right place or not. So as a defender, it's very important to talk to them if they're not well positioned, and to help them making the right choices in press. So I hope this clarifies a bit your question.
Thank you. Moving on to more like a mental health kind of a subject, how important was mental health when you were developing as a player, and how important is it, do you think it is now? It's kind of a vague subject in hockey, in sport. Maybe Constanza, if you want to kick off.
Yes, I think that mental health is very important when you practice a team sport or an individual sport. I think that as I speak before, all the part of the human values and the confidence you have in your team and your self-confidence is the first thing that an athlete should work to have a good development. But yes, I think that also as you play a team, when hockey is a team sport, so all the part it's not only important my mental health, you know, if not all the teams. So you have to work a lot in that to get a good development in the tournaments.
Yeah, for me, mental health is a difficult one. I think mental health is something that's last couple of years gained a lot of importance in sports, in all sports in the world, I think, with social media and stuff. The pressure of performing is increasing a lot. So it is very important to feel well and not having a... not being felt under pressure. Of course, we're a team sport, so it can help to talk to your teammates a lot when you don't feel well, when you feel you need some questions to be answered. I think for individual sports, it's very difficult when you have mental problems to cope with that. So maybe going to a mental coach could help. But I think the most important one when you feel you have mental problems is asking yourself the question, do you still like what you're doing? because if you're playing at a high level without you really liking it, I don't think it will help you. I'm not saying it never happened, because even I had it when I was younger, that there were moments I wasn't happy on the field, or I didn't feel super overly well. So it's really important, if it happens, talk to your parents, talk to close family, friends, ask them questions about how you feel, and maybe they can help you to feel better. And I think it will also help you in your performances if you feel well. And of course, pressure will always be there on all levels, but it should not undermine how you feel. So yeah, it's very important to talk about it.
How did you exactly overcome, or what the most important lesson you've learned from that process?
As a hockey player, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, when I was younger, I next to hockey, I also played a lot of tennis. And at a certain moment, I had to choose between playing at high level tennis or hockey. And for me, the choice was easy, because I always liked to play team sports, and I always felt I needed people around me to perform well. And I know tennis is a sport where you're basically on your own. So when you're not performing well, it's only your fault. Whilst if you play hockey and you're not performing overly well, you still can win a game because of your team. So that always helped me a lot when I wasn't performing well, or when I didn't feel well, I still had the feeling the team had my back, and I always felt well in the group. So yeah, that's for me one thing when I'm not performing well, or when I don't feel well, that I'm always thinking about in my head. And I also try to talk to my teammates, and they can also give you compliments when you need them. So that's something I learned as a team player, and that helped me a lot in my growth as a hockey player.
Apart from that, I want to ask both of you, if you want Constanza to start. A part of being a group sport, do you have any particular habit or any particular thing that you do before a game, after a game, to keep your mental health stable?
Yes. Before each match, I have like my routine, my match routine before playing. I listen a little bit of music and start thinking and start imagining some moments in the match I would want them to pass. So I like visualize them and try to be focus to be focused in what's going to come on. So music and what I was saying before, study imagining some moments that will happen in the match, or that I would like them to happen. It's like the way I get into the match.
For me, it's a bit the same. I think every hockey player has certain routines before a game. I don't have a lot of things I do the same, but I always think that you need to be prepared very, very well to play a game, so you don't have regrets. So what we always do in national team is analyzing opposition, analyzing our own game. What did we do well previous games? What can we do better? And also looking at my individual clips of what I did previous games, so I'm well prepared. And then just before the game, when we're driving in the bus, just starting to focusing myself and thinking, just give your best, so you don't have any regrets. That's for me the most important things I do to be ready for a game.
And additional to what Arthur said, about thinking that you should give your best, also enjoy it because you are practicing this sport, because you love it and because you enjoy it. And sometimes when you are in a tournament, in my case, when I'm in a tournament, I forgot a little bit about that aspect because of the pressure or something like that. So I think that I always try to remember myself that I have to enjoy what I am doing in that moment, because I make a big effort to be there. So I think that it's important also.
Yeah, to feel privileged about your position, where you are. That's a lot of kids around the world are dreaming to be in our same position. Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't let down all the dreams of all those kids by not performing well or not giving your best. So we can be very lucky in the position that we are today.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. And we have another question from Anna from Germany. What is your best hockey memory? Could be anything. Could be a tournament. Could be.
In my case, the first tournament I played with the senior national team, I was 16 years old, I think. And I was very little. I was very scared and with lots of fears. But it was a very emotional moment for me. But the best tournament I played was the Youth Olympic Games. I went to Nanjing in 2014. And that was an unforgettable experience for me, sharing experiences and moments with athletes of all the parts of the world. It was something fantastic. So I think that both moments were important for me.
It's a nice question. For me, in 2016 in December, I played the under 21 World Cup with Belgium, and the day before we played the final against India, I had a chat with Shane McLeod, that was a coach of the Red Lions, and he told me that he invited me to go on a winter camp with the national team. For the first time in January, and that's a day that I will always remember, because as a young kid you always dream to one day be part of the national team, and yeah, at the moment he told me that, I immediately called my parents to tell them the good news, and I'm still proud of that moment, and of course, I've been lucky that I played the World Cup in 2018, Tokyo Olympics. That are all great memories. But yeah, for me, that's the memory of being selected for the national team, and to be able to train with all those stars. It was for me a very nice moment.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Talking about dreams, it's kind of a dream to be in a national team. I think it's a dream for a lot of young players. Looking for later, for the future, what are your dreams? Maybe in 10 years, maybe 5 years. Where do you want to be in 10 years?
I really try to think in a shorter time lapse. I think that five or 10 years it's a lot of time. But as an athlete, I would love to be part of an Olympic game. I think of course Uruguay has been growing a lot these last years. But I hope someday we could achieve and go to an Olympic game. It would be like a dream come true for all of us. Maybe I can work for future generations, achieve that moment. But I would love to be part of one. And I think that right now that is my biggest dream. Yeah, an Olympic player.
I don't like to think too much ahead in the future. 10 years is, like Constanza says, a long time. But yeah, I always told myself the day I started youth national categories that I wanted to get everything out of it. So all the gifts you get when you are born from your parents, just take them and use them as much as possible. So maybe in our case as a hockey player, it means get everything out of it, means maybe going to as much tournaments as possible or win as much as possible. But as I said, 10 years is a long time. You'll never know what happens. I don't want to be negative, but it can be that I injure myself, that I cannot play hockey anymore. So yeah, every time I'm in the field, trying to enjoy the moment. That's very important. And if in 10 years I can still be on the hockey field, maybe not as an international player, but still enjoying the game, that would be for me the most important. And again, as I said before, not having any regrets, just play like it's your last game every time. And then I think I will feel my hockey career is accomplished.
Do you also see yourself as a coach, Constanza?
Sorry, I didn't listen.
Do you also see yourself as a coach at some point, or for you that's a maybe? You never know.
I work as a coach right now in a club. Yes, I really like more the part of playing the sport than teaching it, but. Here in Uruguay, as hockey has been growing a lot, I like that part of transmitting younger generations or other people that are starting to play the sport the passion I have for hockey and the good aspects that has playing as a team sport. And the human values we used for playing this sport that are very important for me. I think that human values in a team sport is a principal thing. So transmit all that things and all that my experience to younger players and future generations, and give all of me to make hockey grow here in Uruguay. For me, is fantastic. So although I prefer playing it. I enjoy a lot all that part, and I think that is very important for the hockey in Uruguay to grow. So, yes.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like maybe it's a personal view, but I feel like in team sports, it's easier to be proud to be a player, but also want to teach everyone else, because you're already in a team. It's like you're already teaching everybody, and everybody's teaching you. So maybe that's why. A lot of people that are players want to be coaches. I don't know. Just my opinion. Changing a little bit the topic, focusing more now on the present, since we are all present people. Hockey nowadays has been changing a lot for the last few years in terms of how it's developed and how it's played. For example, a couple of years ago, it used to be usual that a player could play 10, 15, 20, even 30 minutes, half of the match without a problem. This has changed a lot. And now you have even forwards that play from 5 to 10 minutes on a single row. Then they sub and they go again. Do you think it's important to adapt on that also while training? Or if you can do it, you should be able to run and play for 20 minutes straight?
Do you want Arthur to start, or?
Sure thing.
I can start if you want. it's true. The game has changed a lot, especially when I look at our team, Belgium. I remembered like before, maybe even before I was born, but let's say 15 years ago, Belgium was, not really a big name in international hockey, and when Belgium played against teams like Australia, they really overpowered us physically, And we were really looking up at those teams, like, wow, they with their shirts without sleeves, with their big biceps. We were like, very impressed. And I think for Belgian hockey, that's been a real change. And we started really working on the physicality of the game, and just become better physically and go harder in every game. And today I can tell you that we don't have any strikers in an international game that play more than 5 minutes. Maybe six, but that's really long time. So, our principle is really you go on the field, you give 100%, especially as a striker, to run the press and to try to win the ball. And after 2 or 3 minutes, you're dead, and you want to change because you need a moment to breathe. So I think the game has developed so much. Year after year, and everything has become even more intense. And especially as you see, when you see the conditions we had in Tokyo, we were playing in temperature of more than 30 degrees. If you do 2 or 3 sprints, you're out of breath. So I think it's very important that you're physically at top level to perform internationally. And we don't do a lot of physical training for that. The way we train that is just when we're on the field together to train, we just give it all, and we do a lot of game type of things to get the machine going and to get that heart rate and that breathing at a high level. So I think it's the way the game is played today. Everything has developed. The self pass made the game faster. The turf is every year is going faster, so there are all aspects that make it that you have to be physically top and that you play less minutes to give everything.
Yes, I totally agree with Arthur. In our case here in Uruguay, as I think that. We have to train a lot in the field, of course, and the physical aspects. But also, I think that there is a very important aspect that you should train. That is all the invisible part and the individual training. That is your the way you eat, the rest. That here in Uruguay, as we are not professionals and we cannot dedicate our 100% of the day to training. It's a little bit more difficult to have that time to rest or the way you eat, because we all worked 8 hours additionally to the trainings. So I think that aspect, that individual training, that is more invisible than the trainings in the fields, are very important also for your development in international tournaments. But thank God, here in Uruguay, we grow a lot in that aspect. We try to be the more professional, the more professional way we can. So here we are trying to be professional as athletes, but being amateur also.
What I also want to add to that is that we do a lot of hockey training, but one aspect of our training week is also the gym. Where I think 20 years ago, gym was maybe not a big part of international hockey teams to do that. And now, we have two or three sessions a week where we're in the gym to build ourselves stronger, to not only to create more muscle, but also to be more explosive, to sprint faster on the field. So that's also a really important part of developing your body to become better.
How do you decide, maybe, Constanza, in terms of being a team that is not professional, that, for example, cannot allow to have one person dedicating only their time to what you eat, for example? Do you set up schedules and fixtures between you? Is it a thing that the coach develops for you, or is it more a personal thing?
I think that, yes, we have We practice in the field part. Also, we make some gym there, but all the other aspects, the rest and the way you eat, you can manage yourself. It depends of each one. We used to have someone that helped us in that way, but right now we are each one manage that thing and we are really conscious that it's an important fact for future tournaments and that we have to respect it. So each one is responsible of what they eat and the way they train during a process of a tournament.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. We've talked before about your best hockey memory. And then as a player, what is the most disappointing moment you had as an athlete, and how did you manage to pick yourself up after the moment?
The most disappointing moment, I think, was for me, it was my knee surgery. I broke my ligament in 2017. I was playing the indoor Pan Am in Guyana. And I think that it was a very difficult moment for me as an athlete, but it makes me realize the important aspect that hockey has in my daily life. It makes me realize that hockey is a very important moment in my routine. So I really make a very good recovery. I was 6 months out of the fields. But my mind changed, literally changed a lot after that injury. I started taking hockey more professionally, and I really wanted to be a very important aspect in my life. So I think that although it was a very disappointing moment for my career, it was the best way that I realized how much important is hockey in my daily routine. So it was like a very important moment for me in the bad and in the good way. I think my mind changed a lot after that injury.
For the moment, I'm lucky that I didn't suffer as a big injury as Constanza. So in that phase, I'm lucky. For me, really big disappointments are difficult to find because, of course, sometimes you lose games in tournaments and the tournament is over where you're disappointed. But for me, that's not really a disappointment. That's more a learning phase, I feel. So for me personally, the most disappointing thing I ever had, we were in training camp in New Zealand with national team, and we played two practice tournaments in two different cities, and. The second practice tournament, I didn't get selected from the coach. Not because I wasn't playing well, but especially because I wasn't fit enough. So that was a very disappointing moment for me that I got my selection based on my physical abilities and not on my hockey abilities. But it also made me aware that hockey is not only about playing good hockey and performing on your talents. You also have to work really hard to arrive where you are. I use that disappointment as a click in my head to start working harder on my body, to go to sleep earlier, to eat better, to drink better. So all that kind of stuff. To have a better body and. It also helps you mentally. You're more fresh. You enjoy more life when you eat well, when you sleep well. I think it's important that every disappointment you have during your hockey career to try and search a positive out of it and to use that to make your career and your hockey better and to make you better as a person as well. So that's it.
Okay, do you do it the same as in team? Because like if you do it in person, you have a bit of a difficult moments and you pick yourself up. But when you do have a difficult moments in your team, how do you guys pick it up as a team?
We have a certain rule in our team. We have a so-called circle of trust. It means that, say for example, we have a collection of 25 players. We create a circle of trust with the 25 players where we say, guys, if you have something on your mind, or you don't agree with something, or you think someone is not acting like you want it, just be honest with each other and tell each other, because it can only make us better. And so it's the same when we have a tournament and we have a disappointment. We sit together after it, have a chat, and then we try to find solutions or let everyone speak and let everyone say what they think. Why we create a circle of trust is because, yeah, the things you say to each other are not always nice and are sometimes negative, but it's the aim is not to pick on each other and to push each other down. It is the moment to tell everything you want to tell to each other without, for example, if I say something to Constanza that is negative, that she doesn't take it personally and doesn't want to talk to me anymore, but that she accepts my thoughts about her, and that we both use it to make each other better and to make the team better. So that's what we try to do in national team when we have those kind of disappointments, to just tell what's on your mind without hard feelings, and to move on, because when you play in a national team, you don't play for one tournament with each other. You go for hopefully 10 years together. So it's important to create a bond together for those 10 years where you can not only have some disappointments, but hopefully have a lot of success.
Yes, in addition to what Arthur was saying, that I agree with everything. In our case, we also talk everything after a match, a lose match. If we lose a match and we are disappointed about that, we talked and we tell us between us what we are feeling in that moment, and if anyone feels something about the other one that is not so good, we talk it, and we always talk in with respect and in a good way. And as Arthur said, always. Saying it in a good way and not take it personally, because we are all fighting for the same objective. So we have to grow all together and talking the things and talking the stuff that we are not that we have to improve is the most important fact. So because then the things should go well in the matches, and if something is not, it's wrong in the outside, in the outside, in the inside, it won't work. So talking the things is the most important aspect for me to delete that negative feelings.
Just a quick question, because both of you do it usually after games, and especially after lost games. Do you take some time so you can have a cold mind, say what you really think without being too passionate about it? Or do you just say what you have to say and you know that no one's going to take it personally?
No, I take my time to think, and because sometimes when you get out of the match and you, for example, you lose and your feelings are, I am very passionate. I am a very passionate player. And sometimes your feelings or the way you think in that moment when you get out of the match are not the same feelings when after 1 hour of the match that you are in a goal, you are a little bit colder. So yes, I think that the best moment to talk about is a few hours later the match ends. So everyone is more calm and the feelings are more clear.
Yeah, it's a bit the same for us. We're all winners in our team, and after a game, we always come together for a little closing. And usually, it's our coach that tells something about the game or about a specific moment. But we don't really talk at that moment to each other as players. Also, in the bus driving home after a loss, everyone is quiet. Everyone is in his own world or doing something on his own. And yeah, because like Osada said, if you tell something straight after the game and you're very passionate, you can say things where later you maybe regret them. So it's important to think about what you want to say and how you want to say it. So usually what we do, if we have problems with someone or we want to have a conversation with someone, just go to their room and have a chat one-on-one to solve certain problems. But I don't think it will help the team if you shout immediately after a game.
Okay. Then we're going to move on to our last question of this session, unfortunately. Talking about feelings, have you at any point thought you were not good enough for any team you played for?
I think that it's a little bit similar to what we talked before about the self-confidence. Of course, it happens to me that sometimes my confidence was not so good, but I think that is a positive aspect. The positive aspect of feeling that playing a team sport is that I have my teammates to talk this about and share my feelings to them. So maybe as I can give me my self-confidence, I ask for some help to my teammates to give them back that confidence I need to have. So I think that is the most important part of playing a team sport. We have each other and we can talk all the things that happen to each other and support us between us and grow together. And maybe now I'm in a good moment and another one is mentally not in a good moment, so I can support her and tell her how good she is and the important role she has in our team, because all of the persons that form the team are very important. So I think that is the most important thing. To talk the things that you feel and share them with your teammates.
Yes, the question I had it once where I didn't feel I got the level to play in the team, and it was the first months I came into the national team because I came in just after the Red Lions won the silver medal at the Rio Olympics, and you felt. That team was so strong together because they trained already for years together, and finally for the first time they didn't win the Olympics, but they won a medal, and you felt that it made them so strong and they all came closer together because of that. So when I arrived in the team for the first months trainings, I had the feeling I was being passed in every single way. Every lead the attackers were doing, I was late. Every pass got intercepted. I didn't have the feeling I had the level. And still, I got invited to play with national team. So yeah, it means that I have the level, but why is it not coming? So, I think when you arrive in a new team, it's always difficult because you... Yeah, it's probably a team that already plays for a long time together, so they know each other very well. And when you arrive as a new player, you always have to learn how they go about their business, the style they're playing, the connections you have with people. And when you arrive, you don't have those connections. So, yeah, I don't think you have to stress too much when you don't feel you have the level. Just keep working and see after a couple of months how it evolves. And yeah, if after a moment it doesn't get any better, then maybe you're at the wrong place. But yeah, don't take your conclusions too early, I would say.
Perfect, thank you. We're at the end of our session. I want to say a big thank you to Constanza and Artur for joining us and sharing everything. For everybody else, we're going to take a quick break from 12 minutes. We'll be back in 12 minutes. Meanwhile, you can go to the bathroom, take a coffee, take whatever you need, or you can go to the lounge and have a little chat with everybody from around the world. So we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.